John 6, there's an interesting text here in John chapter 6, which in addition to being really a parenthetical, it actually has a remarkable little parenthetical within the parenthetical. You will notice verse 23 begins with a parenthesis, right? It also ends with a parenthesis. Actually, verse 23, the end of it, actually has a smiley face. See the little emoji right there? Sometimes the Bible gives us that. Now, the purpose for this verse as written is to simply give a geographic location and a geographic context where Christ and his disciples were and had been. What does verse 23 say? Howbeit, there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread. In other words, these particular boats and these people came from a place very near where Jesus had just performed the miracle of the loaves, the place where they did eat bread. This is very much a parenthetical statement, which makes the next statement even more amazing. Father in heaven, we need your help, as always, and I pray, Lord, help us to hear and to heed what you've laid on my heart, what you've given to all of us in your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Verse 23 says this. Howbeit, there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread. There's the context. There's the geographic location. Why does it say this? After that the Lord had given thanks. Now, wait a minute. If the purpose here is to identify where these boats originated from, that is their geographic location, the place of the feeding of the 5,000, then why is it necessary to add this last line, the place where they ate, it says, after that the Lord gave thanks? I mean, for example, if I wanted you to know the location of an auto parts store, I might say, well, there's a Pep Boys nigh unto the place where Andy and Kevin ate tacos, Taco Bell, right? But I wouldn't really add the line after that Andy gave thanks. Pastor, where is the church Coke machine? Well, it's near the fellowship hall where we recently had a fish fry after Brother Sam gave thanks. It really is sort of, or it seems superfluous, right? Not to mention, hear this carefully. When you really want to identify this location, wouldn't you just say the place where a miracle was observed? Wouldn't you want to say it was the place where a little lunch fed thousands and thousands of people? Look, John chapter 6 is known as the feeding of the multitudes, or the miracle of the loaves, or the feeding of the 5,000. No Bible note at the top of your page, no study sheet says the place where people ate after the Lord gave thanks. Nobody emphasizes that, except, of course, that's precisely how the Holy Spirit identifies this place. It is the place where Jesus gave thanks. Look at verse 11. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed. Now, beloved, I have to tell you something. And I have been thinking about this for years and convicted by it for years. The idea of gratitude, and specifically the gratitude and thankfulness of our Lord Jesus each time it's recorded in Scripture, this is something that is as enlightening, as powerful, as informative, and frankly mind-blowing as anything else in the Bible. Three times our Lord Jesus is recorded giving thanks in the Word of God, not including the Last Supper and Emmaus. And when you study those three times, you will realize that there is no way that they are just random or accidental or unrelated. Just like the last line of verse 23 is not accidental either. Jesus giving thanks. His giving thanks really was more significant than the creative miracle of taking one lunch and feeding thousands of people. I remember years ago watching a film, an older film that portrayed this miracle of Jesus multiplying the loaves and fishes. It was a movie about Jesus' life, the Gospels or whatever, and I thought, well, this is going to be interesting to watch and to see. How are they going to film this and portray it? And I have to tell you, it was pretty impressive. They had thousands of extras in a mass of people up on a hillside. And they did show the disciples holding this little boy's lunch, the two small sardines they showed in five little rolls, which is about what it was. And instead of using CGI, computer-generated imagery, to show this miracle or something on some movie magic, all it did was show the disciples and the people as they panned away, growing more and more excited, huddled around food you could not see until it was actually in their hands. And before long, there was joy and there was satisfaction and a lot of dust was being thrown up and people were full. Kind of what you would expect if thousands of people in the first century all got free food in just a moment. It was really impressive directing and acting, I thought. However, what struck me the most when I watched it was that they never saw Jesus giving thanks. There was no blessing. Now, in Mark's gospel, it says, when Jesus had taken the five loaves and two fishes, it says this, quote, he looked up to heaven. Jesus, the Son of God, the Creator, he looked up to heaven and gave thanks. Now, folks, there's a visual for film if there ever was one. But you know, the devil loves for us to focus on the spectacular. The signs and the wonders, the multitudes, the excitement, the material. This was free food after all. The Holy Spirit wants us to remember something else entirely. It is the place where you fill in the blank. Miracles, thousands, creation. It is the place where Jesus gave thanks. Which brings us to those three occasions where the Bible shows our Lord giving thanks. You see, beloved, I am beyond convinced that gratitude, which is praise, being thankful in the way that Jesus was, is the key to almost everything in the Christian life. And you know, the reason we say that is that when Jesus gave thanks in his life and his ministry, there's always this pattern, this commonality. There is a clear similarity and relevance to how he prayed in his gratitude that is not by accident. You say, what do you mean, Pastor? Well, consider this first example here in John 6. What exactly is the Lord Jesus thankful for? Very simple, folks. Verse 11, bread. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks. Now, beloved, there is nothing in the world more common or basic or simple in the world of food and sustenance than bread. In fact, you'll notice verse 9 of this text. Notice it says five what? Barley loaves. Do you know why it specifies barley? Because that's poor man's grain, poor man's flour. It's more coarse and bitter. It has less gluten than wheat, so you know it wasn't as tasty. Amen to that. It was usually fed to cattle and horses. The point is this. It was the commonest of common bread. And yet, what did the creator of the universe, what did the creator of that barley seed and grain and the creator of the soil and the sun and the rain do with that meager portion? Well, beloved, he looked up to heaven and he thanked the Father for what he was holding in his hand. I'll ask you a question. Do you realize, therefore, that in Jesus' being truly grateful for the simplest and plainest, the most common provision, he is showing us that this is how you're grateful for everything else? Put it this way. If the only thing that makes you thankful is prime rib and croissants, You will never live in joy and contentment, and more importantly, you will never truly worship God and rejoice in His goodness. Let me finish this sentence for you, okay? All we have in our house to eat is... Now, you can finish the sentence probably now, and 3-4 weeks from now, really finish it. All we have to eat in our house is frozen pizza. All we have to eat in our house is canned chili. All we have to eat in our house is Spam and crackers. Okay, probably true. If not now, soon. Here's another way to finish the sentence. All we have to eat in our house is more than Jesus gave thanks for by the seaside. More. Jesus was thankful for far less than what you have at home right now. And by the way, do you know how we know that Jesus was truly grateful for such common bread? Verse 12, look at it. When they were filled, He said unto His disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Men gather up fragments of gold. Our Creator gathered up fragments of common bread. You know why? Because He was grateful for it. He meant it when He looked up to heaven and thanked God for that bread. So what about the second time that our Lord was thankful? I'll read it to you. If you're at home, turn. Or here, turn to Luke chapter 10. I'll read it to you, verse 21. It says, in that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit. I love that line, by the way. I'll not preach on it or teach on it right now, but there's something wonderful about the fact that Jesus in a human body, it says He rejoiced in His spirit. Our Lord had joy and happiness. And so it says that He rejoiced in His spirit and said, here it is, look at it, I thank Thee. All right, now He's going to show us again how to be thankful and for what. I thank Thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that Thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Now, wait a minute. Think about what Jesus is thankful for right here. In John chapter 6, it was the simplest food. Here, it is the simplest truth. The verse before this gives that truth. Rejoice, look at it, verse 20, the last line. Rejoice because your names are written in heaven. In that hour, rejoiced His spirit and said, I thank Thee. In other words, it's the simplest truth being revealed unto babes, He says. You've revealed it unto babes. Those are the simplest people. Now look, when you think of the omniscient God, the only one who knows everything and with whom there are no secrets, you would think that He would be thankful that it's the brilliant minds down here who grasp the most perplexing and difficult truths in all of Scripture. But no, that is not what He rejoiced and thanked God for. He thanked God for revealing the greatest truths to the humblest hearts. Well, what's the greatest truths, Pastor? The kenosis? Complementarianism? Infralapsarianism? Is it the recapitulation theory of the atonement? Well, actually, the one Jesus gave thanks for right here was the role that's called up yonder. I'll be there. Jesus was thankful that His disciples could understand what it means to be saved. He was thankful that these people from Galilee, that God revealed to them that their names were written in heaven, what it means to be heaven bound. You know, it's really come into focus this month. This year, this has been quite a year, amen? I saw one meme that said, can we just unplug 2020 and plug it back in and see if it'll restart or whatever. I don't remember. But you know, it's really come into focus just how fearful people in this world really are. And you know what? That would be fine, I suppose, except for one thing. 1 John 4:18 says, fear hath torment. And of course, the reason for that fear and thus The torment is the uncertainty of death. People are not tormented or terrified by the flu, or by a fever, or by a cough. Flus and bugs, sicknesses come and go every single season. But the slightest odds now of dying and thus experiencing the mystery of afterlife is terrifying. It is tormenting. And yet here you are, beloved. And here we are, children of God, this morning. And while, yes, we all have tears and questions and moments of uncertainty, and nobody wants to be foolish, we also have the promise of eternal life through the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We know where we're going, and that is the Father's gift to us. The only question is, are you really thankful for it? When we say, are you glad you're saved? I mean, that means something. Are you glad? Are you thankful Jesus was on our behalf? I thank thee, Father, that thou hast revealed this truth. He goes on later in the chapter and talks about, to the disciples, he says, you know, people have longed to see what you're seeing right now, to know what you're going to know soon. The simplest food, the simplest truth. We said that there was a pattern to our Lord's gratitude as expressed in Scripture. Well, consider then the third time Jesus was thankful. It's in John chapter 11. Now, John chapter 11, as you all know, is a great chapter of miracles. Just like the feeding of the 5,000, this is a creative miracle. So what is it, do you suppose, that Jesus will be grateful for in that great chapter of Lazarus' resurrection? Let me read it to you. John 11, 41, and Jesus lifted up his eyes. It's just like the feeding of the multitudes. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee. Here it is again. I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. Now, wait a minute. Most people would be thankful for the miracle, but the miracle hasn't occurred yet. That's three verses later. Most people would express their praise and their gratitude to God if and when what they're asking for actually comes to pass. In this case, Lazarus walking out of the grave. But here, beloved, the Lord Jesus looks up to heaven and thanks the Father for the assurance that God always hears our cries. Psalm 34, 17, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth. 1 John 5, 14 says, and this is the confidence. This is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Not that he always gives us or grants us anything and everything that we want. No, actually, it's much simpler than that. It's much simpler regarding prayer. Jesus was thankful simply that God always hears. You see the word always in verse 42. He always hears. A couple days on Instagram, the Pope told his followers that since now they couldn't go to Mass and they couldn't go to confession, he said, I'm giving you permission now to go ahead and pray straight to God. Oops. Don't tell anyone, but we've been doing that all along. Amen. Of course we have. The only question is, are we thankful and grateful for that? Does it have to be that we ask for some big, gigantic, amazing thing, God grants it, and then we're thankful? Or is it enough that, as Jesus says, I'm just thankful that you hear me and you always hear me? I remember one night up at St. Mary's, Rick came up for a visit for his cycle, and he brought his guitar. Louise was kind of in and out of it at that time, but I noticed that when he played the guitar sitting there in that hospital room, even with her eyes closed, she smiled. And when I left to go for a walk and get some air, I thought about John's glimpse into heaven in Revelation 5. He said he saw a lamb, and before him the saints with harps. And it says golden vials full of odors, full of aromas, which are the prayers of saints. And I thought, you know, our prayer, it's not just heard by God, it's music to his ears. He's saving him. God delights in our prayers as music brought a smile to her face. And by the way, a lot of the prayers of those elders around that throne in Revelation 5, they weren't answered on earth with a deliverance, but they were heard. Always heard. It is a reminder, beloved, that we shouldn't just be thankful for what we get when we pray. We should be thankful that we get to pray and know that he hears us. You know, it's significant that when Jesus was thankful for the bread, he was thankful for that bread before it was multiplied and before they ate it. Thankful for heaven and simple salvation, he expressed, before the disciples embraced it. Thankful for prayer before it was answered with Lazarus, which is to say, our Lord was grateful. Our Lord was thankful now and in the moment. Being grateful, not just for the things we've received, but thankful even beforehand. And you know, beloved, it is not an accident that for the disciples and for the apostles and the early church, the way that they endured and the way that they persevered amidst trials and opposition and persecution, the way that they kept running the race that was set before them. Follow the book of Acts. Follow the epistles and the God of all of it. Follow it, and you will see that it was by being thankful for the simplest blessings of God's hand. Rejoice in the Lord, Paul wrote from prison. Count your many blessings was written during the scourge of scarlet fever. I have no doubt in my mind that the greatest weapon or tool that we have in the face of today's uncertainty and troubles and fears is being thankful for what you have. It was the Last Supper. Our Lord knew he was going to the cross and the shame and the beating, and he took the bread and it says he was thankful. Grateful. Being thankful for what you have, and especially for the simplest things that God has given you. The simplest food. Are you grateful? The simplest truth. Is it enough? The simplest prayer to know that God hears what we say. I mentioned scarlet fever. When it was ravaging Fredericksburg in 1861 in Virginia, a little girl was clinging to life while her parents were taking turns keeping watch. And one night, late into the darkness, this little girl whispered, "Father?" "Yes," he said, "what do you need? What do you need, my daughter?" And she said, "Nothing. I just needed to know that you could hear me." Of all the things for Jesus to be thankful for, the creator of the universe, the Son of God, the Bible says he looked up and he thanked God. "I thank you that you can hear me and that you always hear me." Last Thursday was the first day of spring. And for the spring of 2020, there's a lot of reason to ask God for wisdom. And we're commanded to. There's a lot of reason to ask God for protection and forgiveness, for mercy, for grace, and for strength. There are a lot of reasons to ask our Lord for guidance, but don't forget, there is every reason to be like Jesus and be grateful. There's every reason not just to ask for something, but to thank him for what you have, the simplest things that you have, is why Jesus lifted up his eyes and gave thanks to the Father. And I'm telling you, this is how the early church, this is how the apostles endured. This is how they rejoiced in the midst. In the spoiling of their goods, it says in Hebrews, it says that they were thankful. They were thankful for the simplest truths. Their names were written in heaven. That God always hears their prayers. That even barley bread is a gift of God's grace. Our Father in heaven, for the next few moments, I pray you will speak to our hearts. And I pray, Father, that we will make those decisions in our hearts and our minds, that we'll be resolved, Lord, to see your hand of blessing all around us, to see that what Christ was thankful for, the simplest truth and the simplest food and the simplest prayer, that we will live in that kind of gratitude as well. And that in so doing, Father, you will help us navigate these waters and do so with faith and courage and boldness. And we pray it will bring fruit to your glory and honor in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.